Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, November the 14th, and hopefully this time we are connected. This is Ralph What's Happening. And tonight we are continuing the topic we had hoped we would be able to discuss with you last week, but unfortunately we were not able to connect to Blog Talk Radio. And our theme tonight is Palestinians are fighting for their existence. Now we have marched in Washington, D.C. Did it stop the genocide or the ethnic cleansing in Gaza or Haiti or Niger or Yemen and so forth? Program is an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. And what we hope you will come away with tonight are tools to fight against colonialism and imperialism, an anatomy of the American capitalist system. So without further ado, Ralph Pointer, welcome back. What's happening?
Well, my good brothers and sisters, we should have seen it coming. The question not is so much what is happening with our punk puppets that we call politicians, The question is, what is happening with us who follow these two have been so seduced by gimmicks and things and personal being that we don't see anything about the world. I wonder often about religion. The world be better off without it? Because every religion says this is a no-no, but no religion is standing up to it. So what is the value of religion? A bedtime story for children? Does it give us courage? Do we learn things? We see the Colin Powell, General Colin Powell syndrome. He lied. He got caught lying. And he said that one of the things that he wished he hadn't done was let his name go down in history as a punk lying general. And then recently, we see President Obama smiling. Wow, people are saying, don't believe your lying eyes, what's happening in Gaza, and laughing. And I predict to you, my brothers and sisters, he will be cast off into the junk pile of failed presidencies. No one will give a damn. And there are so many others who followed his path, so many organizations who said, don't believe your lying eyes. Israel is defending itself. But then I say, who are we? Did we not see this coming? When Cynthia McKinney many years ago said no, she wouldn't be bought. Democratic Party with Bill Clinton, President Obama, who was a congressman in Chicago, attacked her. And they put her out. And she came back and fought. And then they came back with their money and their puppet preachers, liars. And they defeated her again. Goes on. Did we wake up when LBJ, addressing a joint House of Congress, said, if they don't come to the peace table, we will bomb them into the Stone Age, an attack on Mother Earth itself. 90% of the people in America cheered. Who and what are we? And yet, in our hands, we are talking tonight. We have a little thing called a cell phone. And lists are going out as to who supported this dastardly attack on humanity and who opposed it. We have the power, and those who support this attack on humanity, back home to get a job. They never had a job. Their job was to con us. They selected for us who we were to elect, and we did a program on that. And now, my brothers and sisters, for our own sanity, we must stand up and say no to American foreign policy, no to imperialism, no to Israel, yes to the right of self-defense and self-determination for all people. Sister Betty, the microphone is yours.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the delay. And as usual, we're going to go to our poets in residence, and we're going to start with a poet from abroad who was on the line with us before going to our dear professor and Comrade Julia Wright. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty. I am angry tonight. I will make no bones about my anger. I will read you one poem and tell you why I wrote it. It's about my visit to Hiroshima in 2009. When I got down from the bus in Hiroshima, my footsteps lost their echo to silence. Silence everywhere in a lost landscape of time lapse, frozen at the instant of inhumane, white-hot, final conflagration. Silence wraps around me, a fog touching my ashen skin, a vision resurrecting the skeletons of homes, silent with witnesses still standing. A metal cordon protects a sapling that never grew beyond that day. All is untouched, frozen at the time of the crime. All is unheard except the silent scream of the unseen. And when I return to the colorized world, the normal can never be the same. The horse chestnut blossoms in my park burn the trees. Children's laughter is double-edged. No joy can ever be full-fledged. And when a minister of heritage, not so far away in Israel, speaks about sending nukes to Gaza, using the U.S. bomb on Hiroshima as an alibi, we know it's time to seize the time to collapse the time-lapsing spiral. I wrote that poem out of the sadness of visiting Hiroshima, anger, and the fear of seeing it, of the apprehension of seeing it repeated again. And I will tell you why very briefly. A few hours ago, one of the spokespersons for the Israeli government claims that a well-annotated copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf was found on the dead body of a Hamas freedom fighter they killed under Al-Shifa Hospital. This statement is a lie. It is a lie that we must weigh because it equates the Palestinian Liberation Movement with the Nazi movement. On October 30th, in an article in the New York Times, we read that high-level Israelis met with their U.S. counterparts to share their position that mass civilian casualties such as those obtained by the nuclear bombing of Hiroshima during World War II were an acceptable price to pay to wipe out Hamas. I'm sorry, I am angry. Then, on November 5th, the Israeli Times lets us know that a far-right minister, the minister I mention in my poem, stated, quote, nuking Gaza is an option. The population can go to Ireland or the desert, unquote. This minister was suspended but not fired, and he was allowed to vote in the cabinet by telephone. A document alleged leaked by the Israeli Ministry of Defense referring to the post-war management of Gaza speaks about, quote, denazification, unquote. And I will end by saying that the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations pinned a yellow star to his elegant suit in an obscene public relations stunt. Thank you.
Brothers and
we
sisters,
thank you.
Can you hear that? And with the question is over and over again, who and what are we? Well, in the following coming weeks, we will have our opportunity to show the world who and what we are. Sister Betty.
Thank you, Ralph. And we're going to continue. I believe the professor's mic is open. Professor Louie, thank you for joining us yet again.
Okay. Money, 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 right from the start. Money in the brain, money in the heart. Money, money, money. I hear you say you want more money every day. Well, it's the root of all evil. That might be true, but I know you're glad you got some money on you. I'm not mad. I'm not sad. I'm kind of glad I got some, too. So we beg, borrow, and steal. But what's the big deal? It's only paper, and that's for real. What's so hot? Who cares if you got it? It's just a little piece of paper in your pocket. Now, you might say something really old. Get on up here big and bold. It's only paper, but it stands for gold. You could say it quiet. You could scream and holler. But there's no more gold behind the dollar. Back in the day, 1973, right on out there for you and me and everyone to see, the United States went off the gold standard. Unwind your mind, you can understand it. No box, no locks, don't drop your socks. There's no more gold down in Fort Knox, and we will see the bill sooner or later. What you got in your pocket is a piece of paper, and on that paper we write checks, get stocks, bonds, whatever's next, options, futures, credit card, all based on something we ain't got. Hedge fund, derivative, all paper and plastic. Something's got to give, because it's not an act, it's a fact, my friend. All paper money comes to a bad end. That's an old, old rule. It won't break or bend. All paper money comes to a bad end. And you might say that's a terrible mess. The U.S. government might never confess, but every freaking day your money's worth less. Put it in the bank or put it in your pocket. Your money's worth less than the day you got it. And when that dollar takes a big fall, the billionaire don't worry at all. He got 10, 11 brokers out in the hall. And when U.S. dollars are going down, he checks out the other money going round. Before your little breakfast hits your little tummy, he trades his dollars for German money or Chinese, whatever money's good, and leave you broke back in the neighborhood where you pay $5 for a loaf of bread and the landlord wants thousands just to lay your head. So it's only paper, but we never refuse it. First and last, we got to ask, why do we use it? Now you might get up and make some noise, but nobody ever asks for your voice. We use dollars because we got no choice. Down here in the land of milk and honey, what is it that stands behind the money? For your mama, papa, daughter, or son, for every single body under the sun, what makes the system run? It's cops and billy clubs, soldiers and guns. No one never ever asked for your voice. We use dollars because we got no choice. All over the world, power comes from the money system and the barrel of guns. And you could say, I want my money back, but you're hooked like crack. And here's the fact, no one ever asked you, Jack, because money is a tool for who's going to rule over the wise man and the fool. And there's some things that money brings, a little song that money sings. It's never about what people need. It's all about power and greed. Check out the whole world, east to west. It's about some get more and some get less. Look up in front, look back behind. Check your history book down through time. Money is something to keep you in line. And does that got to make you mad or sad? If it's only paper, what makes it bad? It's what we do to get it, what we do when we got it. Did we think about it? Maybe we forgot it. How do we make our money? How do we spend it, Sonny? How you get, how you spend, how do you live in the end? Do you take or give? Of course, at the risk of getting kind of sappy, money don't seem to make people happy. Look up in the mansion, look down in the dump. How satisfied really is Donald Trump? Rich people want more and more day and night. Why so much more if you feel all right? So money's not everything. That may sound corny, but you can't make love with it when you get horny. It's bold, it's cold, but an old story has been told. What good's money if you lose your soul? Straight up, Jack, not whack like crack. You could sell your soul, but you can't buy it back. And if you do not worship money, sure as you're born, the soul you save might be your own. So the money's funny, the change is strange, and there's a whole world to rearrange. And before this song gets too long, whatever you think is right or wrong, before the bell's gonna ring, before the fat lady gets to sing, we feel better when we do the right thing. And there is one thing that we know, we're gonna reap just what we sow. You're broke and hungry or a big man in town, what goes around will come around. And far and near, it might be queer, but money's still here, and the road is clear. Throw everyone in the whole world right down the middle. No one with too much, and no one with too little. Treat your neighbors just like yourself. Same money for them, you and me, and for everybody else. Forget the rich and forget the poor. Close up the bank and open up your doors. Money, 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 right from the start. Money in the brain, money in the heart. Money, 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 I hear people say. They want more money every day.
Well, my brothers and sisters, does that wake you up? Does that get you into the mood to think of solutions as to where we are? Thank you again, Professor Lowy, with your magnificent analysis. Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. And we're going to move it right along. We've got a comrade in the house, Sister Ann Lamb, and I want to congratulate New York City Jericho for an incredible program. And I believe Boston Jericho also had a great deal of success with their programs honoring our veterans in our wars against depression. Without further ado, unfortunately, it looks like Sister Ann has dropped. We're going to give her a chance to get back on. And so we're going to go to another warrior who's in the house and take Sister Ann next. 7785, your mic is open. And I believe you're calling from another region for Jericho.
Yes. This is Ohio Jericho, we're very glad to see the events that happened in Boston and New York. I wasn't able to get down there myself, but, honoring the comrades and those that have already gone past and those especially that are still here and in need, so much in need of our support and our solidarity. So that was a very good thing. But I just want to also just say that, what we're seeing, and we're all seeing it in the news every day, this horrendous murder of Palestinian people, bombings, hospitals. And then on top of that, I mean, that's just obvious by itself. And then these stories created, I mean, this is like fiction, like CIA fiction, and both by the Israeli spokespeople and government, as well as backed up by the United States. Just a little earlier today on the news, they were bombed a hospital, not Al Sifa, but another one. They had bombed the hospital and they had invaded it and, ran everybody, babies and everything out of the hospital. And the Israeli troops were in there and they were making this huge production. They found four really beat up AK-47s, and showing that this is proof that Hamas or some Palestinian fighting organization was using that hospital as a base. And I mean, these kind of absurd stories, and they're trying to make it acceptable or believable, you know, to the American public. I mean, the government, the American government, like the Israeli government, they know exactly what's going on. But they're trying to make it somehow that this is why it's necessary to commit this genocide that's happening right now. I mean, as we talk, as we, you know, go about our daily business for these last some weeks now, there's genocide being committed right here, right now on this earth. And we just have to not only do everything we can to oppose it, but we have to be aware of it and not, you know, even buy in a little bit to these absurd tales catered about how tunnels underneath streets and hospitals and so forth, and that's why it's acceptable and necessary for the Israeli colonial government to, you know, murder Palestinians, you know, as we speak right now. So I just, I mean, it's nothing, I'm not saying anything new or specifically insightful, but this is what's happening in front of us daily, and we just have to really be aware of it and then, of course, do whatever it is we can do to, you know, to at least raise our voice against it, if not more.
Well, I want to thank you because we're not just fighting a war abroad. I hope you know that. We're fighting a war here against misinformation and against what I call metaphysical imperialism. And we have a warrior sister in the house from New Jersey who's got an unbelievable, incredible report to make on the war we're fighting against Zionism at home. But without further ado, I see our sister from New York City, Jericho, is back in the house. Brother Ralph, did you want to comment? And Brother Yon, did you have more comments to make?
Yes, I would like to say it is very important that at this moment in history, we do have the power with these little things we hold in our hands. We see the Democratic Party has put out a list to attack those who did not go along with this atrocity. Well, we can have a list too. Let us use our list to send those punk puppets who hope to punk our vote, who hope to make us political slavery, giving political votes without remuneration. Three are political prisoners. Remember, Julian Assange, the truth teller, is still incarcerated, and they are in cutting others off who would dare tell the truth. My brothers and sisters, the time is now. Sister Betty.
All right. Sister Ann is back, and Brother Yon, are you finished?
Yeah, it's good. Let's let a lot of people talk.
Thank you. Sister Ann, your mic is open, and again, congratulations on the incredible toast you made and tribute you gave to our veterans. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sister Betty. Very nice that we actually are on the air this week. Appreciate that. All right, you know, following up on what's been being said, this is really, really horrible. I was watching some of the U.S. propaganda earlier today, you know, what they call news, and they were showing this huge pro-Zionist rally in D.C. at which all of these horrible so-called representatives were speaking, and it was really horrible. What were all these people chanting? No ceasefire! No ceasefire! No ceasefire! Just appalling. And anyway, so then the U.S. came out, as I think Jan was already saying, to validate, you know, the Zionist fiction about, you know, Hamas and other resistance forces operating out of and under hospitals, right? So we have some news here from Al-Mayadeen. The resistance denies U.S. claim of Gaza hospitals used as operation centers. And they had already said, and they say it again, we have asked for an international committee to come and inspect all the hospitals to verify the falsehood of the fabrications of the Zionist entity and the United States, right? And the United States bears direct responsibility for enabling Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. This is a statement from the Palestinian Resistance Movement. So what happened was they said all this today, you know, just today all of a sudden, oh, yes, we have our own sources that verify this. Ahem and ahem and, you know, as we know, CIA propaganda. So as we speak, they are raiding Al-Shifa Medical Complex in Gaza. They are absolutely doing it right now. And it's really disgusting. There are thousands of people in there who are, like, in addition to the patients and the doctors, you know, all these people who are in refuge in the hospital as well, because they had nowhere else to go. So according to the Israeli occupation forces, they say they are, quote unquote, carrying out a precise and targeted operation in a specified area in Al-Shifa Hospital. The correspondent who was there from Al-Mayadeen said Israeli occupation forces raided parts of the hospital, opened fire indiscriminately towards its windows and sections, and had cut off all communications to the hospital. The government media office in Gaza confirmed that the Israeli occupation military informed the Ministry of Health in Gaza of its intention to raid the Al-Shifa Medical Complex after besieging it for several days and continuously bombarding its buildings. You know, it's just really horrible that this would be going on in a hospital. It's just, it's amazing. The Hamas movement holds the Israeli occupation and U.S. President Joe Biden responsible for the raid on Al-Shifa, pointing out that the White House's adoption of the Israeli narrative about the Palestinian resistance using the complex was a green light for the Zionist entity to commit further massacres. In turn, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement said that the United States is a partner in the Israeli crime of raiding Al-Shifa Medical Complex, adding that the Israeli occupation resorted to targeting civilians and patients after it was unable to achieve any military objectives in Gaza. So there's thousands of people present inside this complex, and they're currently being raided by these horrible war criminals. So goodness will only know what happens, especially since they cut off all communication, in addition to having no electricity, no fuel, no water, no food, all of which are war crimes. And I just read today, very interestingly, the Center for Constitutional Rights is suing on behalf of various Palestinian human rights organizations, President Biden, Blinken, and one more person, I believe, Austin perhaps, as being complicit in war crimes. And that is something that is very important and good to see. Because even though United Snakes and the Zionist entity do not respect either the ICC or the ICJ, they are still in violation of international law, and we need to hold their feet to the fire. So yeah, that's a brief report, because I know you have a lot of people who want to talk. Oh, and also I just wanted to mention, in addition to that, the prisoners in Palestine, the International Committee of the Red Cross has not been allowed to go into the prisons since October 7th. And we know that they are torturing and beating prisoners in there, and at least five of them have died. They have been killed by the Israeli occupation forces. So all I have to say is free, free Palestine.
Well, thank you, and Brother Ralph.
Yes. I'm overwhelmed by this report. Continue, my sister Betty.
So, Sister Anne, it's the end of this time. I know Brother Jaleel and others have launched a special appeal on behalf of our warrior, Sekou Odinga. I hope we can, at the end, have, if you have that brief report on what is requested and required, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Without further ado, we're going to give you information on the war at home. Vice Chair Lisa Davis of the Black is Back Coalition, welcome, and I want to congratulate the African People's Socialist Party, Yahuru, and the Black is Back Coalition for an incredible showing in Washington, D.C. But I know that's not the only thing you're calling about this evening. Could you please update us on your report?
Oh, yes. First of all, I must commend and thank you and Brother Ralph and all of those at WBAI and the other stations and blog talk radio programs who use the airwaves to be a voice for the truth and for righteousness. So I must thank you for that. I want to just say real quickly, yes, I was very, very glad for the showing that we had in Washington, D.C., the Black People's March on the White House. I thought it was very important that we go forward with that because our messaging is so strong. We are an anti-colonial force, and we say we have to connect all of these struggles, and we will let no one or any entity sidetrack us or take us off track of making this struggle not just about ending the war, which means laying down arms for many people, but no, about ending the systems of oppression, the system of colonialism, in which there's war almost on every part of the globe with the United States at the helm of it. But I'm going to just real quickly transition into something that I recently learned about in West Orange, New Jersey, and how at the high school that students wanted to have a protest or demonstration in support of Palestine. And they were met with such disdain by some of the parents in West Orange, New Jersey. I heard that they were threatening to reveal the names of the students who were involved in this. And I also heard that the school or the school board, the school district, didn't want the students to use the phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Because as you know, they are trying to demonize that and trying to control the narrative and trying to control what people can and cannot say. And I was, you know, very alarmed by that. And I felt that it was important. I found out they were having a school board meeting last night. Just one thing, by the way, West Orange is next to Orange, which is the school district that removed Marilyn Zuniga. So these are all, like, interrelated. But anyway, I thought it was really important for there to be a strong showing from the adults in that area. And there was a strong showing last night from the adults in that area, basically giving the message that you better leave these students alone. And that, first of all, they are right for wanting to do what they're going to do, and also to not allow them to hijack that narrative from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free. Because they're, you know, saying that they are calling for a genocide. And I'm like, no, that's not what they're doing. That's what you all mean when you talk about from sea to sea. Like when the United States talks about from sea to shiny sea, that was called for eradicate everyone who was non-white from coast to coast. And that's what they did, like they're doing in Palestine. But so we had to give a strong message to let them know you're not going to do that with these young kids. And we wanted them to know that we are behind them. But it just goes to show, you know, the many fronts in which they are attacking people. And the truth of the matter is the youth, the 17-year-olds, the 16-year-olds, the ones in the high schools, they need to be involved because, unfortunately, the world that my generation, the boomer generation, is about to pass off on them is in a mess. They got to get involved. They
exactly.
have to know that they have to change this. They've got to change this. You know, they've got to change this. And they should not have to inherit failed strategies from my generation.
Well, thank you for
so much.
Cannot thank you enough for airing this. You have to air this information. You have to help people connect the dots. Thank you, and again,
Michael,
we say
yes, of the great teacher.
May I just also say, can I repeat an email address if people want to write to the school board of West Orange?
Yes, please, and then we'll get to Brother Ralph. I think he was. Thought you had ended your conversation. We'll come back to him, but you continue, Sister Lisa.
Okay, I just want to give people this email address that they can at least write to the West Orange School Board. It's contactus@westorangeschools.org. Again,
thank
that's contactus@westorangeschools.org, and thank you so much.
Brother Ralph, did you want to add something?
Yes, I was in an education moment. I'm glad our sister reminded us of Marilyn Zuniga, the fantastic teacher who was supporting Mumia Abu-Jamal with letters that the parents of the children had supported. This is a war at home and a war abroad against truth and reality. And we must remember that, and we must fight both of those wars, and we must never forget the names of those who were strong enough to stand up and take a stand and fight this imperious, imperial juggernaut. Sister Betty.
Thank you. And before we go to Brother Henry Hagan, we want to open up the mic of our brother who's out west, Seattle, Comrade Seattle. Your mic is open.
Uhuru, I will not be speaking long at all, but we're in a life and death struggle, as the chairman said. Because after today, on tomorrow, Palestinians will still be struggling, just as they were struggling in 1964 when Malcolm X was there, just as they were struggling in 1967 when all of white money, white leftists, white liberals, everything was taken away from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee because SNCC came out on the side of the Palestinians in the so-called Six-Day War. Well, you know, I, like everybody else that was online today, saw for a fact the atrocity of trying to pull the wool over the people's eyes, yeah, eyes wide open, with the obscurity of attempting to tell you and I that it is when it wasn't. The hiding of weapons, the, as the comrade mentioned earlier on, opening up a basement door to say that these were the tunnels that they were traveling through. There were no tunnels there. We all know that. Let us not forget what's going on in Sudan. Arab Emirates right now has killed off over 10 million Sudanese. For the corporations now that are really seizing $2 billion profits to date as they've killed off over 10 million Sudanese. The things that they don't talk about. And this is with the help of the Colonial West as well. So this is the tragedy that we're really under. We're not fooled. We're not Turkish, oldish. We're not fake Jews that live in the state of Israel, that live on and suck off of the blood as they genocide in Palestine as they're genociding in the Sudan and other places, even here, Cop City, these atrocities. It's coming to a crescendo, in my opinion. And what I saw attend this weekend, and I wanted to so badly to go to the Black is Back March on Washington, D.C. But what I saw was so inspiring to me that I know that we will win in this day and time because America's lies, just as it is right now with the wool being pulled off of Eric Adams, who is now being investigated, as it's going to be with Hakeem Jeffries, who stood hands up in support of Israel, foolishly, blindly following an enemy. Speaking of Biden or anybody else that would not have any love for Africans here or abroad, the Palestinians abroad, their land, you will fall. Uhuru, I would like everybody to go to, and also go to Black Power 96 and support it. As you well know, they are not relenting the funds to keep the station's generator going. That's Black Power 96 out of St. Petersburg, Florida, as well as please go to Uhuru, handsoffuhuru.org. I'm going to get off now, but I am so grateful for all I've seen you all do this weekend. I'm really honored, and I'm grateful that you allowed me on the program. Uhuru.
Uhuru, freedom. Sister Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. And I believe we have a report or a word from our comrade Henry Hagan, who is one of our supporters of MAMIA. Brother Henry, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Sister Betty. I'd like to share with the community some sad news in reference to Sister Helena Numza Brath, the wife of Alambe Brath, who led the Patrice Lumumba Coalition. She's made her transition several days ago, and the memorial service will be at the Unity Funeral Home in Harlem, 2352 Frederick Douglass Boulevard, at the corner of 8th Avenue. The viewing of the body will be on the 17th of November from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., and the memorial program will be from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The repast will be at 6 p.m. at the Dwyer Cultural Center, 258 St. Nicholas Avenue at 123rd Street. And in lieu of flowers, they're asking that checks be sent to the Alambe Brath Foundation, P.O. Box 555, New York, New York, 126. Again, that's the funeral service, a homegoing service for Sister Numza Brath this Friday, the 17th. And the viewing is at the Frederick Douglass Boulevard Unity Funeral Home, 2352 Frederick Douglass Boulevard and 8th Avenue. Again, the viewing is from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. The memorial program is 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The repast is at 6 p.m. at the Dwyer Cultural Center, 258 St. Nicholas Avenue and 123rd Street. And in lieu of flowers, you can send checks to the Alambe Brath Foundation, P.O. Box 555, New York, New York, 126.
We thank you so much for that announcement. And you know the African saying, every time an elder transitions, we lose an entire library. And some of these libraries, like the Library of Alexander, cannot be replaced. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
Brother
welcome.
Henry.
Thank you for this opportunity.
We got Boston in the house. Talk to us. Lift our spirits. Brother Kazi.
Peace, peace. Peace, peace, Sister Betty, Ralph. I'm glad to hear y'all back on air. You know, I think listening to, you know, they're cutting off communications and cutting off, you know, everything in Gaza just to control the narrative, you know. And everybody knows that. And like Bubba Malcolm said, just paraphrasing, you know, we have to be, if we're not careful, the media have us cheering for the oppressor, you know, so we can see through most of it. But anyways, I think there's people on the line that can speak to what went on in Boston last weekend better than me that was organizing it. But I'd like to say one thing, you know, people were arrested here at Brandeis. Some students were arrested at Brandeis University on Friday, Saturday. And some were kicked out of their dorms for support Palestine, you know. And seems to be, you know, like a question of democracy, at least, and the First Amendment of freedom of speech, you know, has to be exposed. And, you know, we have to put it out there, you know, and confront them with that, you know, with their lies. Anyways, free all political prisoners here and there. Palestine in here. On a move.
On the move. What's the call? Free them all. Sister Bay.
This is why we're so pleased to have Sister Lisa on tonight, because it shows the community is seeing through the propaganda and they're going to defend their warrior children. What I would like to do is I see 0253. The last four digits are 0253. If you want to make a comment, your mic is open, 0253.
Hi, this is Hazel Pinder, and I'm so glad to be a part of the program. I always learn so much, and just the fact that you guys are doing what you're doing is an inspiration. I just wanted to say that Biden was at an APAC meeting today, which I think is, you know, deplorable. The fact that he hugged Netanyahu, who to me, in my eyes, is a criminal, is deplorable. You know, of course, what's happening in Palestine, which has been happening for, 75 years, to me, it reminds me of what happened to the people in South Africa, where, you know, they just came, took over. What did they call it? The blood wars, where for 3 days they just shot anything that moved, the Dutch people. And then after that, that was it. They just took over.
Yes.
You know, so it just reminds me of that. And yeah, and you can't say anything because in this cancel culture, they want to take your pension, you know, and sue you, frivolous lawsuits, and get you bankrupt. And I mean, it's just ridiculous that you can't speak out and, you know, call out Israel for what they are. Just like the Jews said, I have a lot of Jewish friends, and you know what they said? They don't speak for me. And that's true. I mean, you know, what do they say? Oh, any Jew can come to Israel. They don't want to go to Israel. Anyway, I'm glad that you guys are doing this, and thank you, and keep up the good work.
Well, you keep up the good work because you're one of the fighters for WBAI, tireless fighters, a part of justice and unity, and it's a wonderful name because it's true. And I admire you guys because it is a tough road to hoe when you try to fight for free public access radio. And tomorrow night we have a sensational program. Maya Schoen will be on discussing Ralph Schoeman's book, The History of Zionism. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. If you thought these facts were something, wait till you hear what Ralph Schoeman had to say several decades ago. So thank you, Sister Hazel, and thank you for reminding me who the real butchers are.
He could
bring me
some Q-tips.
All right. We want to thank you, Brother Ralph. We're going to shut your mic down for a little bit. And we have another mic that we want to open to see if the 2897, do you wish to say a few words? Last digits are 2897. Do you wish to say a few words? Hello? Okay. We're going to say thank you for listening, and we're going to pass on. Before we close the program for this evening, I want Comrade Ann to give us an update on Brother Sekou. We're honored that Brother Henry gave such a thorough report on how we're going to say goodbye to our sister Bass. But Sister Ann, we've got a warrior who needs us right now. Can you give us a little update on that, please?
Oh, yes, for sure. There was going to be a virtual fundraiser and tribute to our Baba Sekou Odinga on November 29th at 7 p.m., and that will be streaming live on YouTube on Black Power Media. All right, and there's a lovely graphic. I'm about to send it out, actually, on the listserv. Fundraiser and virtual tribute to the movement Spider-Man. I didn't know he was known as Spider-Man. Sekou Odinga. And so, as we know, revolutionaries do not receive a pension. They generally don't have Social Security allotments, and they don't have supplemental income. Our aging revolutionaries, those who have placed their liberty and lives in jeopardy for the freedom and liberation of our oppressed peoples, don't have health insurance and often depend on Medicaid or Medicare for medical assistance. Sekou Odinga, 79 years old, is a Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army veteran, former U.S.-held political prisoner, freedom fighter, husband, son, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and patriarch of our community. He was hospitalized on September 3rd for serious health complication and released to a rehabilitation facility. He has suffered from medical complication and has returned to the hospital a couple of times. He is now back in the rehabilitation center and receiving therapy and the additional support that he requires. This virtual fundraiser and tribute is to support Sekou's therapeutic rehabilitation and healing, as well as to support his wife, Dequi, and his family as they support him, which speaks not only to the love and beauty in this struggle, but also exposes the socioeconomic deprivation that the majority of Black people suffer and the need for universal health care for all. Please donate and support our valiant warrior of human rights. Now that he is free, let's keep him healthy as we show our love and appreciation. And then they put the link to the GoFundMe, which is, you know, sort of hard to say, but I'm putting it out, and it's also, of course, going to be up on our website. And as long as I have you on the phone, if I don't get cut off yet because my battery is dying, I also wanted to say that our dear comrade and freedom fighter, Ed Meade, just recently passed as well on his 82nd birthday of the George Jackson Brigade. So, comrade Ed Meade, presente.
All right.
Ed Meade, presente. And it is a tragedy. We have ignored the war at home against us. Homelessness or houselessness is death. Miseducation is a worse death. We have not looked to our brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. And that says something about us. Will we be comfortable with these little machines that we hold when we go to bed? Will that comfort us? Or will the use of these little machines to turn a government around comfort us? My brothers and sisters, I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow night, 8 p.m., 99.5 FM on your FM dial, New York, New York, from 8 to 9. Please tune in and give us your thoughts. Sister Betty.
Well, Sister Lisa, I believe Chairman Yeshatela O'Malley has another webinar coming up. I think you might know the date for the Zoom.
Oh, I am so sorry, but I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, that's...
But people can go...
They can just Google Black... Is that correct?
Right, or go to handsoffuhuru.org, and they'll have a lot of information about that as well at handsoffuhuru.org.
All right. We want to ask if Brother Jan wanted to say a few words as we are closing out tonight.
I'm just glad we got on tonight, glad we were able to hear a lot of people. And as we always say, got to free them all. And we got to support the freedom struggle in Paris, Palestine.
Brother
Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for having the courage. It takes courage to stand up and tell the truth. Well, one of the philosophers, great philosophers, said, the truth must not only be the truth, must not only be the truth, it must be told. We are trying to tell that truth. We know what happens to those who tell the truth. Julian Assange is still incarcerated. And here we are, dear Sister Lynn, spent time in the death camp for telling the truth about a situation that never happened, was never in existence. To tell the truth is to pay the price, and I'm honored to be with those who are courageous enough to tell the truth and put their names to it. Thanks again. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night and next week. Sister Betty.
All right, tomorrow night, you've got to hear Maya Schoen and her discussion of Ralph Schoenman's book on the history of Zionism. And we want to thank you again for joining us this evening.